Jay, you have insight in U.S. journalism for about 30 years, but you didn't know anything about German journalists. What did surprise you most when you came to Berlin?
What surprised me most was a discovery I made about German press think, which is that journalists in Germany have a positive duty to protect minority rights and keep extremes of left and right from overtaking the public sphere, and they take it as part of their responsibility to defend German democracy, liberal democracy, anchored in Europe. And I think that's good. I think it's healthy, and it's something that's going to be needed.
What were some differences you discovered compared to the U.S. where you came from?
Well, one big difference is just the fact that there's no Fox News. That's huge. Well, in the U.S., Fox News is helping to polarize the country, and it's part of a larger change in which some Americans seem to live in a different reality than others. And Fox News is very much a part of that. And so not having that is a big thing, and I think Germans should feel lucky.
Fox News and private TV stations is on the one side. On the other side, we have public broadcasting, which has almost half the audience share here in Germany. What effect does it have on the audience?
Well, I think just the fact that public broadcasting is there, that it's so big, as you said, has half the audience, that important rituals like debates and even football are carried by the public system, it just gives it a completely different status in society. And so to have this force that's not controlled by the market, not controlled by the state, and is there to serve the public is really a gift to German democracy, and I think Germans should appreciate it.
If we're looking to the U.S., Trump is repeating again and again that media is the enemy of the people and maybe his own enemy as well, and that changed a lot. How do journalists in the U.S. react, and how should they react?
Well, their first reaction was shock and outrage themselves at some of the things that the president was saying. Now they're kind of used to it. It's almost become background noise, just part of what it's like to report on this president. And recently, they're starting to organize a little bit. So recently, 350 different newspapers all at the same day wrote editorials that objected to the president's campaign to discredit them. But in many ways, they're still struggling for an answer because they can't stop covering the outrageous things that Donald Trump says and does. But on the other hand, when they do cover them, they're contributing to the polarization of American society in some ways, and they're helping him in a way. So, for example, when the press gets angry and when it critiques the president's words about journalism, that just convinces his supporters that the press is trying to bring down Donald Trump. And so it's a very difficult situation. It's one that journalists have not been in before, and I think they're still struggling to find an intelligent response.
You're looking at the situation as a professor for journalism. You're not a journalist yourself. What do you think would be a more effective reaction against Trump and against his campaign against the media?
Well, one thing I think that journalists need to do is start looking away from Trump himself and closer at the Trump government and report more on what is changing in the government itself. Trump is such a crazy figure. He's such an interesting and disturbing person to cover that a lot of the attention goes to him alone. And it's really important for journalists to look at what is happening, for example, in environmental protection, in regulations, in taxes, in just the way the government does its business. So that's one thing. And a second thing, I think, is that journalists need to listen much better to the public so that they know when politics and the political system isn't addressing their concerns. And I think this is an issue in Germany, too. I think the time when German journalists could take it for granted that they were respected and the authorities about news is over, and I think German journalists are going to have to in a sense, fight for their public much more than they have in the past.
German journalists at the moment have to deal with AfD and a lot of other right-wing groups. They are even attacked, like recently in Dresden. Could they learn anything from their U.S. colleagues?
Well, one thing they could learn is what could happen if they don't address this situation. In the United States now, when journalists get to work in the morning, about 30% of their public is gone before they even log on. Well, about 30% of the voters are hardcore Trump supporters who disbelieve everything that's reported in the mainstream media on principle without even considering it. In other words, if it's in the Washington Post, I know it's false or it's fake news. And that's a very serious situation. We have a very large percentage of the public that is sort of isolated in an information loop of its own, in which Donald Trump is the major source of information about Donald Trump. And in a sense, that part of the country is lost to journalism. And so when you have the rise of AfD, which not only is claiming that the press is sort of illegitimate, is a part of the system, Sistempresa, Lügenpresse, it's not just that they are saying these nasty things about journalists. They also have their own supporters and their own media world for those people. And even though maybe it's 5-10%, when you get up to 30-40%, in a way you're losing the public completely. So I think the American experience stands as a warning to German journalists.
You've kind of invented the expression press think, you mentioned it before, to describe the attitudes and rules of journalism. If you look at both sides of the Atlantic, what's the biggest difference between U.S. and German journalists?
I think it's the place of public broadcasting in the German system. That's one thing. And the other thing is what I mentioned earlier, this belief, this part of German press think, where German journalists accept they have a responsibility to the Federal Republic, to post-war democracy in Germany, and that they are part of the system that protects Germany against sliding backwards, and that because of German history, they know how important that is. And there's really nothing like that in American press think.
And what do they have in common, U.S. journalists and German journalists?
Well, for one thing, the DNA of the German press in many ways is American. After the war, the Americans helped set up the new media system along with the British. And the belief in objectivity and separating a news from opinion is really an American import. So that's one point of commonality. Another is, of course, the basic freedom of the press principle, which is well established in the United States, developed through important court cases. It's well established in the basic law in Germany and developed through very important court cases like the Spiegel case in the 60s. So those things are very similar.
And both sides have to face fake news, an expression pushed by Trump with a very special framing, a negative one. How to deal with that?
It's a poisonous term. The less you have to use it, the better. It's something that's been weaponized by Donald Trump. He uses it basically to shout down news stories that he doesn't like and to instruct his supporters that bad news, investigations of him and his government, revelations about what he might have done with the Russians or even before that, are supposed to be ignored because they're probably fake. So he's trying to protect himself or inoculate himself against bad news, but in a way against journalism as an institution. So fake news is a piece of propaganda that was built to travel and to be shared by other people. And it's worked in a very sick way. It has worked.
After 3 months in Germany, what would be your advice or your recommendation to German journalists?
Well, I think they need to experiment more with a a range of practices that could improve their connection to their public, which include listening to the public better, things like correcting your mistakes, transparency practices that, for example, explain how journalists work, inviting them in so that readers and journalists, listeners and journalists can get to know each other better. Instead of taking for granted your status and your connection to the public, really work actively on improving it and building it. And it's particularly important for journalists to not only maintain a high standard of quality, but when questioned, be able to answer and say, don't believe us? Look for yourself. Here's our data. Here's our evidence. Here are the interviews we did. And also explain what their priorities are and where they come from, so that when a suspicious critic says, what's your agenda, you can answer.
And Jay, what ideas, what questions do you take back to New York City?
Well, I'm very interested in what is going to become of right-wing populism in Europe, in Germany, in the United States, and its attack on independent press. This variety of right-wing populism that we're seeing surrounding Germany and in the U.S. builds a kind of media critique into its political strategy. And I'm very curious, having observed it now in Germany, what's going to happen in the United States and whether the broad public, the core of the public, will in fact reject that kind of attack on one of their institutions. After all, journalism, free press, doesn't belong to the media. It's a public possession. In fact, in the German Basic Law, the way I read it, when it comes to freedom of the press, it says everybody has a right to speak freely and write and publish what they think, right? Something like that. And the very way that it's stated describes it as a right that belongs to the German people, to the German people. And I think that idea has to remain alive, and it's up to the journalists and their supporters to keep the flame of that idea going.
Jay, thank you so much, and have a safe trip home.
You are so welcome.